Hello and welcome to Press TV's News Analysis, coming to you from Tehran. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, a tug of war between Russia and the United States is taking place in the battle for Syria. This is Russia and China have vetoed a UN Security Council resolution against Damascus. And the U.S. says Bashar al-Assad must step down as president. Russia says it will not support Washington's lead. And in the middle is the Syrian people who are witnessing more violence that Washington blames on the Assad government. And Damascus says are insurgents and armed gangs supported by foreign groups to destabilize the country. Stay with us on that analysis as we take a closer look at the latest, not only on the UN Security Council vote on Syria, but on the latest happenings in Syria itself.
Syria has been witnessing a deadly wave of unrest in recent months. While officials and residents of crisis-hit regions hold armed groups responsible for deadly clashes, anti-government campaigners and their Arab and Western allies are blaming the Assad government for the deaths. The London-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights, which is working in close coordination with British Foreign Secretary William Hague, tries to report a higher number of casualties. The observatory has also been the main source of Western media reports. The US, Britain and France, along with some Arab countries, have led massive campaigns to pressure the Syrian government. Among Arab countries, Qatar has been one of the main campaigners against Damascus. Earlier, Qatari Emir Sheikh Hamad bin Khalifa Al Thani urged that Arab troops be deployed to Syria. There were also reports that Qatar had created an anti-Syrian mercenary force based in Turkey, with Ankara's full knowledge, to topple the Syrian government. For its part, Syria says Qatar is an undemocratic regime that uses its state TV to preach democracy in the Arab world.
Question the positions of some states that pay lip service to democracy and human rights.
Meanwhile, Russia also accuses Saudi media of inciting violence in Syria. The division among world powers is likely to grow on the Syrian issue, as many more countries have now realized that the West and its Arab allies are not seeking to establish democracy in the Middle East, because had there been such a cause, the situation in autocratic regimes such as Saudi Arabia and Bahrain would have been discussed at the UN Security Council way before that of Syria.
Well, I'd like to welcome my guests to the program from Moscow, political commentator of RIA Novosti, Dmitry Kozyrev. Thank you so much for being with us. From Beirut, political analyst Omar Nashabi. Nice to have you from Beirut. And from Washington, President of Society for International Reforms and Research, Sayed Ali Wasif. Thank you for joining us. Thank you all for being with us. Let's turn to Moscow, first of all. Now, sir, with the situation that's just happened with the United Nations Security Council, let's look at the significance of what has taken place. Russia and China has vetoed the resolution. And, of course, the United States has, they've made some claims about why Russia and China is doing this. Will Russia stand firm behind Syria, or is it likely, if the United States puts more pressure on it, to change its colors with Syria?
Well, first of all, I have to say that I learned about the Russian veto half an hour ago in the car while going to, here to this studio, and that was really good news. Far as I know, Russia is going to stand very firm on its position, but then a bit of diplomacy is always good. You see, our foreign minister was speaking in Munich at a security conference to Hillary Clinton and other people. And I know that Russia has submitted its own resolution, which is very like this one, the Morocco one, which has just been vetoed. And it doesn't have this provision about a preliminary removal of Bashar Assad from power before the start of talks. But anyway, the compromise is possible, close, and now, when they know that they are going to have our veto in any case, as long as it takes, maybe there is some chance of accepting a Russian resolution or something close to that.
Okay, well, let me turn to Beirut and Mr. Nashabi. How significant is the vote that has taken place in that Russia and China has vetoed this resolution?
Yes, first of all, there was no necessity. It was sufficient to have one veto. The second veto was not really necessary. However, it's a political position that actually reconfirms the position of Russia and China. Now, I think the key, the main direction of the Russian position is that the United Nations' role is not to remove regimes. The United Nations' role, according to the Charter, is to promote dialogue, is to condemn violence and promote dialogue and work towards peace, not to actually call for the removal of a president who actually enjoys a large popularity in his country, according to a Qatari research study that was done by the Doha Institute that showed recently that 55% of the Syrian people disagree with the removal of President Assad. And now that was done by the Qataris, so you can imagine the Qataris have a political position, so that must be underestimated as a number. But still, that number is a majority. I mean, the Russian position, as your guest from Moscow just said, is ready to actually make negotiations and work for the well-being of Syria in diplomatic talks with the Americans and with others. However, it's transformed. The role of the United Nations is not to remove regimes. This is not the function of the United Nations. So that's a very important point. And I think that the vetoes by the Americans in the past, I mean, let's just remind the viewers that the United States is the country that has issued more veto votes than any other country in the Security Council. And China is the country that has has the least number of vetoes in the history of the United Nations. Now, let's take a look at the number of vetoes by the United States to block resolutions that were condemning the destruction of Palestine, the building of settlements, the destruction of the destruction of the Palestinian dignity, the Palestinian right to live in freedom, the destruction of the peace process that was at some point moving forward, and then the whole process collapsed. So a country that actually made all these vetoes against peaceful resolution and peaceful direction and condemnation of the destruction of Palestine, I think, is not the right country to actually comment on the Russian and the Chinese veto today.
Okay.
The Russian and Chinese veto is in the direction of dialogue in Syria. The Russians and the Chinese are calling for dialogue and for a peaceful settlement so that they can preserve, so that in Syria the institutions that are basic service institutions for the Syrian people are preserved and not destroyed as is happening today.
All right, let me turn to Washington, Sayed Ali Wasif. Let's look at some of the things that were talked about, because the Syrian ambassador to the United Nations, Bashar Jafari, he talked about the role of the media in all of this. I want to look at the role of Al Arabiya, Al Jazeera, and what he was talking about, fanning the flames of hostility and causing discord and problems in the country. How significant is the role of the media in this whole serious situation, in your perspective, sir?
Well, in contemporary politics, we see and we place media as a fourth pillar of a state, and it does also have an international significance. So media does play a role in destabilizing and instabilizing governments and political situations and events. They do control events. So having said that, today we have seen, as far as the Arab media is concerned, it has the same goal as that of the Western media. So they are in line with the Arab media is totally in line with the, by and large, is in line with the Western media. They just told the official or the line of the Western media, which is neo-colonialist, neo-imperialist. And I may share something with you at this moment. Yesterday I received a phone call from the Al Jazeera television, where they do call me from time to time. But yesterday they asked me about something about Syria, and when I said something negative about Qatar and its policies and about the Arab League being dormant there or playing a role of a puppet of the United States and Britain, They rejected my ideas and they did not invite me to interview at the Al Jazeera. It was yesterday, Friday. So, you know, that's what's happening with the so-called neutral Arab media. There isn't anything neutral on the part of the Arab media with Al Jazeera, with BBC, with CNN, with other international media outlets. So they are playing a partisan role at this moment in support of their respective governments, in support of neocolonialism and imperialism.
Okay, well, turning to Moscow, let's look at that, what our guest in Washington has talked about as far as the Arab media. I want to look at the roots of a lot of these stations. We saw a lot of finger-pointing from the Syrians talking about Saudi Arabia, talking about Qatar, and the role that it has been playing in all of this. What's your take about these Arab nations and the role that they have played in the Syrian situation? Have they been trying to actually bring peace to their fellow Arab brothers in Syria, or have they been following more or less the line of Washington?
Well, it's quite a peculiar situation for many Russians, most of whom do not really understand the situation in the Middle East. But we were very much used to the fact that there is such a thing as Arab nation, even split in several countries. And it was a big surprise when, in the times of the war in Libya, we discovered that it's not exactly so. Some Arab nations can go against other Arab or Muslim nations and even play some very subtle games, for instance, Qatar or Saudi Arabia together with Europeans trying to change regime in an Arab nation. It's difficult to understand it even for our decision makers, for our government. That's a change in situation overall, and this is why our leaders now pay more attention to that and are not going to play along any group into the Arab world, but are trying to stand on principles instead of being allied to certain states and small or bigger countries.
Okay. All right, Mr.
I would even mention that our foreign minister and our head of intelligence are visiting Syria on February 7, and one of their tasks is to assess what really goes on inside the Arab world. It's a difficult task.
Okay. Mr. Nashabi, your take on that same question, actually, looking at the role that, first of all, the Syrian ambassador had talked about, talking about Qatar, talking about Saudi Arabia, and also relating back to that previous question, talking about the media that's coming out of these countries. What role have these particular countries played in what the Syrian ambassador called fanning the flames of discord inside of Syria?
Yes, I think that unfortunately, yes, the media, Al Jazeera, which has started by gaining popularity when it was first launched some 10 years ago, it gained its popularity because it supported the Palestinian people, and that's the way it gained its popularity. Now, with the events last year and this year, the position of Al Jazeera slowly shifted, and it used the public that it was able to gather in order to redirect it against specific regimes that were not in line with the policy of Qatar, which is close to the American policy in the region. And that's very unfortunate, because that seems to me using a media outlet that was very promising when it first started, and using it to actually create more problems within the Arab world, and creating more tensions between Muslims, between people from this region.
Why is that the case? Why do you think that is the case? And you said initially started off with the whole Palestinian issue, but specifically now that we're looking at the chain of events that have taken place over the last year in the Arab world, and now specifically Syria, why do you think that we have seen such a change, or what you're saying is a change in the way that they've been shown?
I'm not sure if this was planned from the beginning. I'm not sure that the Qataris used the Palestinian issues and the rights of the Palestinians, which they know are very important for all the Arabs and all the anti-imperialist camp. They know very well that this matter will actually attract a large number of viewers if it's done properly. And they succeeded to attract a huge number of viewers and followers in the Arab world and outside. And they launched Jazeera English, they launched Jazeera Kids, Jazeera Sports, Jazeera Direct, Jazeera Live, and they gathered a huge number, a huge audience. And at the point when they gathered this huge audience, they know that they have this power to use this media in order to reach their political objectives, and that's exactly what they did. Now, how ethical is that? I leave it to the viewers to actually think about that specific point. But I just want to say that there is also tension that is very dangerous. Al Jazeera is playing a very dangerous game. There is tension between Sunnis and Shias in the region, and there were massacres in Iraq. And the role of Qatar is really and the media and the media of Qatar and some other Arab media is to actually create more tensions between between Muslims, between Sunnis and Shias, and that's a very dangerous and a very cruel, I would say, direction, because it will create more blood in the region, more killing, more destruction, whereas we need to actually have more solidarity, we need to build institutions, we need to see how to resist Israeli oppression. I like to mention one thing, and it's not off topic, it's at the core of the topic, is that in the past 2 years, the Israelis have built more settlements and created more settlement projects than they did in the past 10 years. In the past 2 years, when everybody was preoccupied with this news about unrest in several countries in the region, the Israelis were profiting from that situation to build the largest number of settlements and actually around Jerusalem, more specifically, and in Jabal Abu Ghneim, which they call right now Har Homa, they have built all these settlements to actually be able to suffocate Jerusalem.
You're saying that this is also another ploy to basically divert people's attention and go on with what they want to do. Well, let me turn to Washington.
I got to get Said
Ali Wasif back in on this. Turning to Washington now, U.S. Ambassador to the U.N., Susan Rice, she made some interesting points in talking about the draft resolution and basically pointing the finger at Russia and China for vetoing the resolution, and said that now that they would be responsible for all the blood being shed, and that it would be the United States, that the people of the Middle East would realize that it is the United States that stands for democracy and stands for the people's right. Your take on Rice's comments, sir?
Well, that's totally ridiculous. First of all, the U.S. ambassador to U.N., that lady is an aspirant to the next position of the Secretary of State of the United States. So if Obama is elected for the second time, this lady is likely to be the next candidate for that position. So whatever she is doing is basically promoting herself as well, together with the policies of the United States. Then the second is, what about the policies of the U.S. vis-a-vis Yemen, vis-a-vis Bahrain, vis-a-vis Egypt, vis-a-vis Saudi Arabia, and so on, vis-a-vis Afghanistan? So how could we forget these countries and we only stick to one country, Syria, where we are having a kind of an internal armed conflict, what we call in international legal language internal armed conflict. That is totally to favor the Israeli settlements, as the gentleman has said, and to favor the American expansionist policies in that region. So basically, Russia and China are the two countries which have played their neutral role in order to give a chance to the governments there, especially the anti-American governments there, to have their holds and to continue with their reforms there. We only have three democratic governments in that region. One, Israel, which is a pro-American government. The second, Iraqi government, which is a democratic government. The third is the Iranian government, which is also a democratic government. So they are looking for the governments which are dictatorial in nature to promote the Israeli and American interests in that region. And that this is nothing new. Whatever has been going on is since the last century, when we saw a secret pact between Britain and France in 1916 in the name of Sykes-Picot secret treaty to loot and plunder the natural resources of the Arab land. Then we saw another treaty, a declaration called a tripartite declaration 1950 for the same purpose. Then we see a 1950 pact of CENTO or the Baghdad Pact to consolidate the Western position in that region to loot and plunder the natural resources and to back the Israeli position there in that region. And this is the fourth stance in the 21st century by the same governments, Israel, United States, Britain, France, the same colonial powers, the same powers, the same Western allies who want the status quo in that region in favor of the American hegemony and the Western loot and plunder. So nothing has been changed. They do not want a change in that region in favor of the people. Syria is the worst-case scenario for them because they want a change in the government in Syria. The opposition forces in Syria have been supported by Israel, and that's enough. These are sufficient grounds to understand the movement in Syria instigated by the U.S. and Israeli intelligence agencies, and those opposition figures, the people there who have been armed by the American, by the British and French forces and are being trained elsewhere, inside and elsewhere, they are doing a job for Israel and for the Western allies and not for Syria or the Syrian people.
Okay, and with that, I'd like to thank all my guests from the program. From Moscow, Mr. Dmitry Kosarev, a political commentator. From Beirut, Mr. Omar Nashabi, political analyst. And from Washington, Said Ali Wassef, President, Society for International Reforms and Research. Thank you all for being with us. And we'd like to thank our viewers for staying with us as we took another close-up look at one of today's top stories. Join us here, same time tomorrow, for another top look at one of tomorrow's top stories. I'm Marzia Hashemi, signing out for myself and the crew here in Tehran. Thank you so much for being with us, and goodbye.